Oregon Zone. 10 o'clock hour.
Is he an Oregon guy?
He is. Chico, California, spent some time there, too. Is that in common with Aaron Rodgers? My question for you, since I was, in some opinions, maybe harsh on Matt LaFleur for being being annoyed with the offensive performance.
Yeah,
he was also...
I don't fully understand your annoyance with that. Like, you've been around these coaches long enough. How do you not... Don't you understand when... And I know you do. That's what's so confusing. Like, things are going well. You have to continue. What's the hardest thing in sports, Jason? What did Mike McCarthy teach you?
The biggest challenge is handling success.
Thank you. They are... Everybody is now, again, telling them how great they are. Rat poison, as Nick Saban says it. All of this is in play. And, of course, Matt LaFleur is doing every safeguard to fight it. I mean, you're an old savvy vet. You know the game. Is he as disappointed as he says he is publicly? No. Is he trying to get the message out there to say, guys, we can be better and we need to be better? Yes. So I guess I just look at it, and I know – you are a wordsmith, and you pick at words, and you will pound on a word. We all know that, and I'm not going to defer to anybody on that. I will say you
just
you
can't
know,
help yourself.
I can't. You know the game that is being played. He is. Not
I do,
speaking,
but my point
but he's not
was
speaking
that,
to you, Jason. So, you know that he's speaking to his team,
right? I do. Yeah. I understand all
okay.
that.
I know you do.
So my like,
you're
I
a
do
smart
think
guy.
Thanks.
This is I like do. Being the caddy now. You're a good
That's
you're
exactly,
a great host.
That is exactly how I felt. Hey, great read on that putt. It was my fault. I putted it the wrong direction. So the reason I brought it up, and this is the thought, like, there's plenty to be annoyed with. Like, their run
like
game is not clicking.
Okay.
Like, that's a very fair criticism, and if he wants to talk about that, great. Like, my point is simply, you know what, the other guys get paid too, and sometimes – you have a couple of bad – the play caller's part of it too, right? If you go three and out three times, the play caller probably has some role in that, along with guys blocking the wrong guy in the run game and whatever else. I'm not saying that they don't have things that he should be annoyed with, but it just felt like – kind of like you being nice to the caddy, it felt like he was being overly annoyed by something, and it didn't feel as authentic – because your quarterback was the offensive player of the week.
Yeah.
You know, you guys you're fifth in the league in scoring. You're seventh in total offense. Could you be better? Sure. And you can pound that home to your guys. But to say that you're annoyed and frustrated felt like a little bit of a oversell. That's why it annoyed me.
Yeah, and I think you're too annoyed. I think you're too sensitively annoyed, if that annoyed
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much. It was just
okay,
an interesting topic.
I just wonder if – so from the interesting thing you said there is the authenticity point of it, and I don't know what he's saying in front of the team. I know his messaging to our fans, to the fans and to the players is, we're going to get better. It was just simple. That's what he was doing. That's why I didn't think it was as big of a deal, because those players, they want – you don't think Josh Jacobs wants to be more efficient running the football? You don't think Jordan Love – you can't get plays if you keep going three and out and you're putting it on your defense. And you have a couple of big challenges coming up, whether or not you want it to be – you know, if you're going to talk – and I know we're going to talk trap game and all this other stuff about Carolina, but – you're going to be playing some big boy teams, and that's where you can't get into these lulls. I would love for you to ask Matt LaFleur at some point, when's the last time? Because, and you can preface it off of what you just said, because I don't know how annoyed you really are. I think I sense it's probably not as much as maybe I thought. When is the last time you walked off the field thinking, man, we just played a complete game on offense? Yeah. I wonder when – I don't think he's going to have – and these guys are all heavily critical of their team because coaches have to be. But I just can't think of a game where I was thinking they went throttle city from the jump and we had to pull off the brakes because they were so good at the end. I don't remember that game.
So the answer is the Dallas playoff game, right? That's the correct answer.
It's a long time ago.
Right. So my question for you again, because you're the one who played in the league for 11 years, what does that look like in your mind? Because look, you're not going to have games where you didn't punt at all, right? Like, yeah, oh, we beat them, 48-7. But like even the Saints game that they won last year in a shutout, that didn't feel like they were as dominant as the score made it look. So you obviously played in some of those games. Certainly that 0-3 season when you guys were running the ball the way you were and Favre was playing largely mistake-free football. Like, I don't know, the Oakland game, I think that was an offensive performance that you felt like you were really good from start to finish. But, like, what does that look like? Because you can't Don Larson a football game, right? You're not going to score a touchdown on every single possession. You're not going to have 18 holes in one unless you're the leader of North Korea. Like, what do you need to see to feel like the Packers offensively had that kind of a game? Like, what's realistic in the realm of NFL football?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I do think an outburst of upward, mid-40s and up, and just feeling like you're able to dictate everything you want to do. Second half was what we're looking for. That's a big ask to play as well as what we saw in that second half against Pittsburgh. But when you see something and that you can do that, you expect to see more of it on a consistent basis. And I think that's all we're looking for. There's too many lulls where you either feel like Matt gets a little conservative, and I don't blame him because he's trying to establish the run game. He wants to get Josh Jacobs going, and we're not blocking or executing it as well. And when you have this, when Jordan is back playing the way he's playing, you got to ride that. And I think that trust level is up. That's more along the lines of what you'd be looking for. And this week, you're playing at home. You have all the fixings of, well, this could be, Carolina. I don't know. Is Bryce Young going to be quarterback? And is he out? This is a game you should feel really good about going into, but that's why Matt LaFleur is on edge. And that's why he's saying the things he is, because he can feel maybe that the guys are feeling really good about an emotional Sunday night victory, and you're going into a game that is not going to be buzzworthy. Is it a noon kick, I believe? That you don't even see that very often at Lambeau.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're playing against a team that, no offense to Carolina, pretty nondescript. You don't have a ton of stars. It's a classic roll your hat out and you're going to get a win game if you don't catch it and really address that early. And Matt LaFleur, I think, is very concerned, and he wants to see if his team can respond. This is one of those – you guys are going to say it's a trap game. This is a grow up and be a pro game, not a validate game. This is grow up and be a pro. You should go out, win this game. It doesn't need to be sexy. You don't need to win by 15. You just need to go out. If you go out and dominate this game and you win 27-17 with a late garbage tutter and you don't cover a spread, nobody's going to give a rip. This is a go out and be a pro. You want to win a championship. You don't let teams like this hang around at your joint. You just go beat them. That's what Sunday needs to look like. Jesse, put that down as a moniker. Go out and be a pro game. Go opera. Whatever that acronym is. Whack. Go out and be a pro. Go out and be a pro. Go opera.
It's great to have the acronym and
pro starts with a P. It should just be P at the end. It shouldn't be pro or pra.
Yeah, we got to workshop it a little bit. It's also, Jesse, it's also got to have a little flair to it. It can't just be, acronym has to make sense.
Nut Whack has a flair to it.
I'm telling you, still the greatest acronym that we've ever had sports related that was kind of in a in a jousty move with Dale Earnhardt. And I remember this when because I was not a big NASCAR fan, but I just remember Dale struggled to win at Daytona. You guys all remember that, right? All of us racing fans. And God rest his soul, Dale Earnhardt, one of the GOATs in his game. But he couldn't win at Daytona. And somebody came up, and this is where my love of acronyms started, on a T-shirt. Stop laughing. D-A-L-E is in Dale down the left-hand side, Jesse. And it's Daytona, another losing experience. And I just thought, boy, that is creative. If this is the road I want to go down, I want to be as good as that dude or gal, whoever wrote that. And then Dale found a way to win in 1998. And you don't think one of the first things on his mind was to shut up that T-shirt maker of that acronym?
Yes, I'm sure that was the first thing he thought of. I got to find that T-shirt maker.
You don't think that was a part of the process, Jason?
Is there a similar origin story for you for analogies? Because if that's what made you such an aficionado of acronyms, I'm just wondering if there's also a cause.
Someone wrote, I played like a gazelle in 1996, and I wanted to stick it to them ever since.
No, I don't think I have there's not that origin story, but this Dale, I've told this story before. I don't know if we've had a better acronym that summed up a sports figure like Dale. Like, if somebody can come up with one, I would love for us to do, that would be a really fun game to come up
with. So are you hoping that, like, Rashawn Gary catches wind that you said this is a Go Opera game?
No, no.
And they're going to stick it to you on Sunday.
No. Stick it to me. I'm telling you, just go and be a pro. This isn't critical or anything else. Just like I don't do this a ton. We had Validation Thursday a couple years ago where they needed to validate a huge win, and they were playing a Tennessee team that was aight, and Tennessee came in and beat the heck out of us. There was no validation. This is, hey, you guys want to win a championship. You have all the pieces. We all see it. Just go and be a pro. We don't need some special superhuman. It'd be awesome if you did. If you go out and be a pro this week, you're going to win this game easily. If you don't, you're going to be in a dogfight with a Carolina team that shouldn't beat you. Period, Finn.
As I said earlier in the week while you were playing Band in Dunes, if you are the team you think you are, you take care of business against teams like this.
Yeah, go out and be a pro.
Yeah. Nevertheless, yeah. Matt LaFleur was asked if this is a... Well, I wanted to play the clip.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt LaFleur was asked if this was a trap game. He didn't even let the person finish their question before making it clear that he does not think that way.
I'm not worried about it. Like, we've got enough to worry about just within ourselves and a lot of growth in front of us if we want to play our best football. We should only be worried about today and this game and nothing else outside of that.
Yeah, but this is kind of like his... Well, let's take a break because I want to get into this further, because this is also... And I'm not saying he's being Pollyanna-ish, which is one of our favorite words on this program, but, like, he also... He got very annoyed. This was legit annoyance with the subject of targets. I think Ryan Wood of the Press Gazette got him all riled up yesterday about that while Brian and I and Corey Linsley were hanging out here. And I'm curious. It feels like he has this kind of idea of how he wants his guys to be, but I'm not sure that that's the case. We'll get into that coming up after Tausch tells us, as I scroll down because I'm on the wrong spot.
Coors Light.
About Coors Lights.
Yeah, whether you're tailgating pregame, finishing a great round at Band in Dunes, and you're overlooking the Pacific with a little mist hitting you, and you make sure, oh, baby, that 16-ounce silver bullet, the mountains on there were bluer than blue. That's when you know it was cold-activated. Bottles and cans were chilled to perfection. That's what I had. I celebrated responsibly. I had a great time out there. I got a couple pictures I'm going to send Jesse to get updated on there.
Woo!
Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Did the caddy have any of those too?
No, I think the caddy was into some other stuff.
Someone on the text line did ask, was the caddy's name Mary Jane?
Last answer, I don't know. Mary Jane. Hmm. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Boy, you're in a good mood.
Yeah, you know the thing that traveling Jern. Is fun. Jern's awesome. You get out, you finally get kind of accommodated with to the time zone, and
now you're leaving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isn't that something? Yeah,
pesky.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm eager to see what that's like when we're in London.
But what did you think of Sunday Night Football starting at 5:20 for you?
Yeah, the World Series has been interesting because we'll get done. We got done, and the World Series, because we'd finish golfing most of the times around 5:36-ish.
6-7.
Out here. And you're like five innings into a game. Obviously, the other game, the one that went 18, was fine. But I don't think West Coast. There's some of the guys on the trip think West Coast sports is better because you can get up, it's 10 a.m. and you can watch NFL football games on Sunday.
It's true.
I am a Central Time Zone cat. CTZC. Central Time Zone cat. Now, I just think the Central Time Zone is the best for all this. So, no, I don't like games starting at 5 out here. And no, I'm out. I'm out on it, Jesse, to answer your question in a nice, blunt, quick way. Out.
So here's what we're going to do. You don't mind, I sent Jesse the back and forth that LaFleur had with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette yesterday, the discussion of targets that I thought was really good. I thought it was really interesting the way LaFleur kind of got after him a little bit, but also I thought his explanation was really interesting. So we're going to save that for the top of the 11. And right now, because Jesse is, you know how I get hives when we don't talk enough Packers?
Yes,
Jesse's afraid we're going to get through the whole week without doing the NFL power rankings, and it's already Thursday. So
just
time
wait
now.
A second. Well, why didn't you do that Tuesday? Like, I think part of my planning was to not do it. I wanted to be gone.
Homer was telling us about McDonald's.
Yes.
What the
and
app?
His, and his relationship with
his
father.
Yeah, playing Monopoly.
Did he get into his father relationship again too?
We did, yes.
A little
did.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, very famous.
I have to make sure I check that podcast on the flight home tonight.
Well, you won't hear the power rankings on that podcast.
Is it on? Oh, by the way, I haven't checked. Is it on Spotify yet? Is it back?
You know the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
I called Ashton and Pratik out. I said, I know they're doing everything they can, but do we need to get really... Like, do we need to go to Spotify headquarters and show up at their door? What do we need to do here?
Oh, with a picket?
Yeah. Protesting.
Are they located out here?
You might be able to swing by before your flight,
you
I
just
think.
Just go knock on the door real quick and just ask. Yeah.
Come on, knock on my door. Yeah, I could. I won't, but I could.
You can't sing that song, though, or we'll be banned from Spotify. Time now for our power rankings.
Another shift at the top in this week's ESPN NFL Nation Power Rankings. Power Rankings Tuesday on a Thursday this week. The number one team in the National Football League, according to ESPN's panel of its NFL Nation reporters, is the Indianapolis Colts. The only team in the NFL with a 7-1 record. Number two, the Detroit Lions.
Quick correction after some Googling. Unless you have a layover in Stockholm, Sweden, you won't be able to knock on Spotify headquarters door.
Okay.
Next trip, though.
Maybe we can get Colette to include that in my trip.
When the Badgers play in Ireland, if we're not up on Spotify, by the way, we can do a layover in Sweden. Number three, the Philadelphia Eagles, notably an NFC team 6-2 on the season. Not as good a record as the Green Bay Packers by winning percentage, but they are also ranked ahead of the Packers. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. Number five, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
Number six, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number seven, up a spot from the week prior after their win over the Steelers. That is where we find the Green Bay Packers, just in front of number eight, the Los Angeles Rams. So that is three NFC teams, the Lions, Eagles, and Buccaneers, all ranked ahead of the Packers in ESPN's NFL Nation power rankings heading into week nine. What do you make of that, old T?
Yeah, I think it's dumb. I think it's really dumb, but it is what it is. I have no problem. Indianapolis, I'm a firm believer in the results on the football field, and Indy has done it. Do I think that Indianapolis is going to be in the Super Bowl? I don't. I think it's going to be Kansas City or Buffalo. And in the NFC, I think it is you guys will laugh. Winning the division and getting that one seed is going to be everything this year. Because you just went through a list of teams that I think are good enough to win. I don't want Green Bay to have to go play in Tampa. If they can't win the division, if Detroit beats them and Green Bay has a couple hiccups and they have to go in a wild card round and go play a Tampa Bay or a Philadelphia, someone that wins their division, I don't think that's a great – I think it's tough. You need to win your division, I think, this season more so than any in the past because of the depth of the NFC playing field. There are not going to be any gimmies out of those seven games or the seven teams that make it. I think you're going to have as equal of playing field, and I think Green Bay is best suited. Maybe I'm biased, but I've watched enough to see that when you have a closer like we got with Micah and we have a quarterback – who's playing better? Who's playing the quarterback position better in the NFC than Jordan Love? Dak Prescott would be it. And the Cowboys are not one of the teams I'm worried about. So, Baker Mayfield, kudos to you. I saw the Detroit Lions eat your lunch. I didn't see that with Jordan Love. So, that game, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that game. I know everybody's excited for the Philly game. I like our matchup with Philly. I think that Detroit game is going to tell us the story of this regular season is going to be that game. So Detroit deserves credit. I'm not going to pout and cry if they're ahead of us right now, even though we beat them head-to-head in a pretty dominant way. There's a lot of outlying factors with that game, so I understand it. But to put Tampa ahead of us, come on, man. Come on, man. And I think Philly, I'm going to nut-hoack them, so I'm not going to pout and cry about that either. But I just think the whole list is – Green Bay is undervalued, and I'm fine with that. It's middle of the season. Great. Undervalue all you want. I want to see the Philly and that Detroit game, and that'll tell the that will tell the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to put it.
See, it all worked out that we didn't get to this. That was great. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
All right. Good. Glad we could do it. Great job, Jesse. Jesse did a great job organizing and holding that off to get it to Thursday instead of Tuesday. I think he did a wonderful job.
You know who else does a great job?
Who's that?
The folks at Jones Dairy Farm.
Yes, they do. They do. I just caught up the next video with Philip. Another great one. Learning a lot about their business. And Jones Dairy Farm is a great Wisconsin business. Family owned and operated. Not for six, but seven generations in Fort Atkinson since 1889. And they are best known for their all-natural sausage made from the original family recipe, pork, chicken, turkey. I already told you we made this great orchetta with spinach and a great pork sausage. It's got that great flavor that's phenomenal. You know what? No fillers, no nitrates, no MSG, no gluten. It's all natural. They also make that great bacon that we always talk about, too. Find all of Jones products in grocery stores across Wisconsin. Check the website, Product Finder, at jonesdairyfarm.com. And I'll tell you what, we got something special brewing for next Friday. Something special. Yeah, I don't know when the video is going to be coming out, but we got some good stuff, real good stuff brewing with Jones Dairy Farm next week.
If you thought the power rankings were compelling, or got at least a compelling response from old T, wait till you see what we've got next. We're bringing back an oldie, but a goodie. And we'll do it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
The triumphant return. We've got a lot of really fun things that we've done over the years that they're really built in to the program. Some folks don't like Dunzo. I get it.
Who doesn't like Dunzo?
There are some people that don't like Dunzo.
No.
They don't like him.
Dunzo's
fun. Like him. They don't like him. They don't like
he's
Bane.
He's irritating. Now, you don't want to see him coming around. But he's funny.
No, he's bad news. He is bad news. If you see Dunzo, it means one of the Wisconsin sports teams have fallen on hard times and their season has come to an end.
Jesse, I got a question for you. Is Dunzo also, if, like, let's say something happened coaching wise and a coach is going to be fired, is that Dunzo related, or is that something like when you wanted to get Pat Murphy fired and let's say they really struggled and it was August and they weren't going to make the playoffs and you really felt like he should be fired, would you bring Dunzo out for a coach being fired?
Dunzo doesn't like dancing on people who just lost their jobs.
Oh, so Dunzo's got high morals.
But depending on who it is, I mean, maybe. It depends.
I feel like Dunzo's kind of a jerk, if I'm being... Like, Dunzo's a little jerk storish.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. It's part of his charm.
The high moral ground of Dunzo, the fictional clown. I don't know of anybody that's in danger of losing their job among the highest profile coaches in the state of Wisconsin, though, so that's a good thing.
You don't
have to worry about it.
That is good. That is good.
I read Jim Polzin's column with Ted Kellner. Ted Kellner didn't sound like he's expecting any changes at 1440 Monroe Street, so we'll have to wait and see. What we can't wait any longer for is spooky or fluky?
Is it spooky or fluky?
Dennis and Plover, it endures his contribution to our program.
Spooky or fluky?
That's your mascot for spooky, son?
I pulled this
half-baked jack-o'-lantern.
Pulled this 3 years ago and haven't changed it because we only do this once a year.
All right.
Spooky or fluky, where I ask you to identify if these potential contenders are spooky, legitimate contenders, or fluky, not very good teams. Yes.
Can we add creepy, as your voice would hit creepy in that? Spooky, fluky, and then your voice is creepy.
Creepy Fair? Doesn't rhyme like the other two words, so I'd say no.
Okay. Okay.
Let's begin with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are they spooky or fluky, Tausch?
They're spooky. They have, you know, they're going to win their division, so they're going to host the playoff game. And if Green Bay, you know, doesn't hold on to its division lead and has to go play somebody on the road, I don't want us going. I think we could beat them, but I don't want us playing against Baker. And at that point, Mike Evans, if he's back, if Abuka's healthy, if Godwin's healthy, they got a pretty good O-line. If that group, they're banged up in a big way. But we've seen that movie before with Tom Brady. I don't want to. Tampa's a spooky team, mainly because they're going to win their division. You probably feel best about them and Philly winning their division more so than any of the other teams, just because of the depth at and their divisional rivals. Tampa's a spooky team to me.
I agree. They are legitimately spooky and concerning. To Tausch's point, they've done this while they've been missing some of their key pieces who've missed time with injuries. Baker Mayfield probably deserves way more credit than he's getting. It does seem like he's getting more credit of late, but he has really resurrected his career. It's been very impressive after he bounced around, right? He was in Carolina for a little while. And with the Rams for a little while.
Yes,
and it's really clicked now for him in Tampa. So spooky for sure.
Is it spooky or fluky?
Next up, the Los Angeles Rams. Spooky or fluky?
Spooky. Stafford. Puka. Devontae. Their defense is better and better. Sean McVay. Again, not a team that if they can win their division. Now, their home field, the fact they don't have a home field advantage hurts them. I think Green Bay would probably fill up almost 50% of that stadium in a road playoff battle. But that's not a team you want to have to go play. You want everybody coming to Lambeau. And if they're coming to Lambeau in January, I don't feel as – and the same thing with Tampa. I'm going to preface all of this by saying spooky if on the road. Spooky if on the road. Spitor. That's kind of where we're at. So the Rams are a spooky team. I think they're good enough, and they have enough pieces that are going to give you a lot of issues.
Yeah, again, Team Tausch on this, I'd say spooky as well. And, of course, any team that's got Devontae Adams on it, I'm going to see as spooky. Next.
Is it spooky or fluky?
Next up, the Seattle Seahawks are 5-2. Are the Seattle Seahawks spooky or fluky, Tausch?
Spooky. Sam Darnold has proven to be... I got to keep waiting. I forgot. I got to wait.
You can keep talking. It's okay. It's more in the background.
Okay, I don't know what that voice is.
You're like, please stop.
I'm not sure what that is. It's like Bob Eubanks. I think you're trying to be Bob Eubanks. Spooky. Sam Darnold, that's a young roster. You just kind of get the sense that they're going to be good but not good enough this year. They're still a ways away from being a championship contender, but they are a spooky team that you don't really want to have to battle with your playoff life on the line, because they kind of have the pieces that can make things miserable. And again, don't want to have to go to Seattle. You don't want them winning the division and having to go out there and play it. My point on all of this in the last two segments has been, win your division, Green Bay. Period. Finn. You do that, you're going to feel pretty doggone good about where you're positioned and your opportunity to go chase a championship. You don't, man, that road is just like the drive from Eugene to Bandon. Windy, wet, dark, timber-ridden. It is treacherous. You don't want to have to do that.
So we're spookying out a lot here. And we're agreeing a lot.
There's some teams that he's going to get to that I believe I will not. These are the three teams that I, outside, obviously Philly and Detroit are, I think, Green Bay, Detroit, Philly.
So we got three now, and we haven't even mentioned those two, and we think the Packers are spooky too. Is this wide open?
Jason, did you not just listen? I don't think I could be more crystal clear. The NFC is deep. There is a lot of teams that I believe are good enough to win a playoff game. It's who's good enough to win two, maybe three playoff games. That's the trick.
Yeah, I don't like it when you do that.
The treat.
Can I just say?
The treat is to get that one seed. Everything else is going to be spooky and tricky. Treaty.
I don't like it when you do that thing. Did you not listen? Yes, I was listening.
Well,
but
in fairness, I literally was asking you a question last week, and you said I wasn't listening.
Right,
so
and I would tell you if I was, and I would tell you if I wasn't. But I was listening. My point is that in this instance, we have put a lot of teams in the spooky, and I'm going to agree with you on the Seahawks too.
Well, there you go.
So what I'm saying is, so we've got three teams that they're not the Packers, the Eagles, or the Lions. You're talking about a six-team race here, where we could see, depending on circumstances and who's playing well when. Like, it is wide open in the NFC, and we are looking at a Packers team that right now, if the season ended today, they'd be the number one seed. But, like, we've got the head coach of that team talking about how very annoyed and frustrated he is with the offense. I'm just, this is what the NFL has, is that parity. And when it's good parity, it's not a bunch of 500 teams, but there's a bunch of good-ish teams that, if they catch fire or if they get a break or two or where they play the game and what the matchup is, they could all get to where they want to go. I think that's fine. I just think it's fun. And so I like the fact that we had that, because we have played this game in the past and it was all fluky all the time.
Yeah.
And that's not the case here. Next.
Yep. Is it spooky or fluky?
We're running out of time, so are there any other teams you think are spooky besides the Eagles and the Lions? Maybe the 49ers, or the Bears, or the Washington Commanders. Any other teams in the NFC that are spooky, Tausch?
So here's what I would say. San Francisco's too beat up. I think Kyle Shanahan deserves credit, and if San Fran can find a way in the playoffs, and if they get a little healthy with McCaffrey, and if you got Purdy, and but Freddie Varner being out, and that defense, Bosa being out, that defense just ain't going to have the chops to get it done. So they're fluky to me, even with fluky with respect. I'm going to preface it. Fluky
respected
with respect.
Fluky.
Washington, Fluke City, USA, it's over. This season's a wash for them. Who's the other team you put in there?
The Chicago Bears.
Nah, they're just not there yet. I think Ben Johnson's done a good job. I think they're going to be on the come up, but they're a year out in a league and in a division that's just more mature than they are. They're not matured yet. They're growing. And I think if you're a Bears fan, you can actually have some optimism that they're actually growing. It's not false. It's not fake seeds this time. They have real seeds that are growing. We'll see if they let it germinate and develop into something. We'll find that out. So, no. Those three teams, it's all Fluke City, USA.
Yeah, but wait until the Vikings get that trade done for Kirk Cousins. Then things will change in the NFC. No, I don't think there's anybody else that we're leaving off the spooky list. I think with six teams, including the Packers, I think that's a sufficient list, and whoever is the seventh team in the NFC will face long odds. But, hey, the Packers have been the seventh seed the last 2 years, and they won a game a couple of years ago. All right, that is spooky or fluky. We got a long way to go.
Spooky or fluky.
Jesse, you can talk over it, Jet. You can talk over it, Jason.
Can we hear the creepy voice one more time? No, yours. Not that one.
Oh, you want to hear my voice?
That would be the one.
The spooky
right
jack-o'-lantern guy. I think his name is Lewis.
Lewis?
Yeah, that was a thing that in the stores a couple of years ago. Lewis the jack-o'-lantern.
Well, we appreciate Lewis, and we appreciate Dennis and Plover, and we appreciate Jesse.
We don't appreciate Lewis.
And well, okay, maybe I don't mean any of that. I do mean this. I appreciate Colette with this vacation that we're going on to see the lovely landscapes of England, Scotland, and Wales. I know Tausch is excited for me to be gone. He's excited for me to tell him all about the medieval city of York, I'm sure. But we're going to see all kinds of great things, like Big Ben in London, Edinburgh Castle, which I'm finally learning how to pronounce, I think. Chester, Shakespeare, Stratford-upon-Avon, all of these amazing places. We're going to take a scenic train ride through the rolling hills that lead to the medieval city of York. It's going to be a great time. I hope we get all kinds of people to join us, and you can be among them. If you've ever considered doing this, hey, again, never left North America until this trip. So I'm excited. Love to have you join us. All you got to do is text the word travel to 844-770-3776 to get more information. That's travel, the word travel, to 844-770-3776. Or go to ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com. That will reroute you to Colette's website. It'll also contain information for our meet and greet that we will be doing on Tuesday next week to talk about the trip and get all your questions answered. I'll be there. We're going to have great food at Buck and Honey's, which you know I love. So hopefully people will turn out. I'm really looking forward to this. We'd love to have a huge group that can make the trip to England, Scotland, and Wales. And you've heard Homer rave about Colette. You've heard John Mercure on WTMJ 620. They've all done this before, and they can't say enough good things. So I'm excited based on their reviews, and I'm excited if you will join us again. It's ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for more information.
Jason, quick question. I had a couple of my buddies inquire. They've listened to the show and are very, you know, supportive of what we do. And they wanted to know if you could get a couple rounds of golf to maybe sweeten that deal. Maybe go play a couple of rounds when you're over there. Is that something that Colette and you would be flexible to add into your program?
So I had a feeling that that was the genesis of that question when you mentioned it on Monday.
Sure.
I have sent an inquiry.
Okay.
I don't want to have to worry.
A steward's inquiry, if you will.
I don't want to worry about breaking 200 in Scotland.
No, that is part of it. They will come to the trip, but they want to play with you, and you have to have a caddy to break 200. That's part of the deal.
Do I have to rent a small enough car that my driver won't fit in it?
That's up to you guys.
Could you actually bring your same caddy from Oregon to caddy for Jason in Scotland?
No, so we've golfed over in Scotland, and it's awesome. And they have these little they're called pasties, where there's like a gravy filled sandwich, and you eat it, and the gravy will like spill out. It's at the turn. It was awesome, but my boy Bjorn got a little gravy on his hand, and his club got sticky, and he ended up not playing as well after he had a snack at the turn, a pasty, if you will.
Were you guys teammates, or were you rivals? Because
we're always teammates. Okay. We're always teammates.
Would Aaron Rodgers have gotten after him for getting gravy on his club and then not playing as well? Because we know how he was with you when you didn't play well.
Yeah, he's been to Belkow. I can't. There's a lot of people I can complain a lot about. Jern's not one of them.
Although
he didn't shoot great yesterday, he did not have the day that I was hoping for in our final round. So, not being overly critical, I've told him
not at all.
I feel like you didn't need to say that, but you did.
We still have one last segment in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll do it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All right, two quick things we can get to the 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock hour. One, I've never been so happy to have screwed something up. And Lord knows that that's happened a fair amount. But apparently, the Channel 3000 Packers newsletter didn't go out yesterday. And someone actually noticed and sent an email asking where his newsletter was. Thank you, Jerry. I don't know if it's Jerry in the Prairie or another Jerry, but it's nice to notice that I messed up because that means you want your newsletter. So Wednesdays just went out, and then I'll do Thursdays when we're done with the show. So thank you to Jerry. Secondly, Micah Parsons is your NFC Defensive Player of the Month.
Yeah, he's
pretty good.
He's
pretty good.
He is. Yeah.
Tausch, I know it has been expected of him. You know, you always say about pressure is a privilege, and we always know that expectation line about to those that much is given, much is expected. Has he reached, surpassed, or come up short of your expectations?
I would say he is everything that I expected.
Yeah, I would agree.
The thing you worried about was whether that back injury was real, that he sat out. I didn't think it was. I'm not going to poo-poo it, but I didn't think that was anything to be overly concerned about. And then they started talking about epidurals, and that just lets you see how a narrative can just spin completely out of control, and that right. did. Mm-hmm. But he is a dynamic playmaking closer. The Packers haven't had one in a while. And I think for me, you know, I was talking about Rashawn Gary as an elite player a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You pushed back, and there's elite, and then there is this guy is just at another level. Micah Parsons is that guy. He is Myles Garrett. There's two of them right now.
Yep.
Myles and him. And then you have a lot of really good players that are elite. Hutchison and you know, T.J. Watt, although he didn't play great, he didn't do much right. against the G&G.
Mm-hmm.
Micah's different. He moves different. He is, I mean, he just looks like one of those, like a leopard or a tiger. Like the way he can just.
Gazelle?
He's so smooth. No, not a gazelle. He is a hunter. Like, it's just so fun to see. And he plays hard. You know, all of the narratives about him, he can't do this, he can't do this. Well, you know what he can do?
Yeah.
Disrupt the blank out of an offense. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's done that. And he's made life easier for everybody else. There is nobody that's going to sit here and say he's underperformed.
Right.
If you are, I don't want to talk ball with you. We'll talk caddies and other stuff. But if you think that Micah Parsons has underperformed his time here in G&G so far, I don't think I want to talk ball with you until you know you come around on that point.
Yeah, he's been even better than I thought he would be. But and
thank
Rashawn
God,
Garrett,
I didn't want to have I didn't want to have to yell at you and move, you know. Just talk caddying.
You guys
time.
Wouldn't be able to talk ball for a while.
We wouldn't be ball talking.
Yeah. So, some people who listen to the show would argue that there's large stretches where we don't talk ball. Not only has he been really good, but to your point about Rashawn Gary, Rashawn Gary had 7.5 sacks last season in 17 games. He has 7.5 sacks after 7 games.
I mean, why do you think that is?
Because of Micah Parsons.
I believe
that's a major factor.
No, it's definitely helped.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what else helps? When you raise a glass of Tito's to celebrate Micah Parsons' Defensive Player of the Month award.
Oh, and it's beautiful when you're out golfing. You get an early morning tea time and have yourself a little Bloody Mary. Mix it with Tito's. It's getting a little hot. We're walking 25,000 steps. You know what? Mix in a Gatorade. Boy, that's beautiful. You look at it on the beautiful coastline with a Tito's in your hand, and then you get done. You finish off, I don't know, put a little tonic in it, maybe a little lime juice, maybe a little Sprite, whatever it is, make sure it's Tito's in your glass. And not only do they make great drinks, they give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good out in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make it with Tito's handmade vodka, distilled and bottled by fifth generation, crafted to be savored responsibly. We did get into a little argument with one of the waitresses out here.
Uh-oh.
No, in a fun way. Hold up.
Did she find it fun?
Yeah, are you sure?
Yes, she did. We were having a discussion. I think all of us got a Tito's and whatever we mixed it with as like a nightcap to finish off our day at Bandon. And she told us that no place does more Tito's sales than Bandon Dunes. And we all looked and said, y'all are crazy. Las Vegas, Nashville,
Madison.
Really? Yes. I mean, so we text our folks, Court and the crew over at Tito's. Tito's is popular everywhere, and it is incredibly popular in Bandon, but I think the old girl here was maybe a smidge misleading. That's all we're saying.
She was drinking a Tito's and Kool-Aid.
You can't talk Tito's with her. You can talk ball with her, but you can't talk Tito's with her. We need to get to the 11 o'clock hour because we're going to run out of show for everything we have planned. So stick around. That starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.